Do achy, stiff joints slow you down? Would you like to put some of the cushion back in your joints and cartilage? Would you like to clinically reduce everyday joint aches and pains? Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and if you answered yes, then good news. Our friends at Purity Products want to send you a bottle of their legendary Ultimate HA joint formula for just $9. Ultimate HA features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping you to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin, and people say they look better too. Just a few capsules a day, and you deliver powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissue. So call 1-800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9, and you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. Questions can come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. And so the last question, quite a simple question.
Yeah,
simple,
yeah.
With an easy answer.
Right, from Diana.
We'll answer this in like less than a minute.
Yeah, Diana asks, I want to lose weight, but I'm not sure what to do. I need your help.
Okay. Well,
that could be several podcasts long.
Wait, do you want to give away the secret, or do they have to come and pay you to see? Because it's pretty simple.
Not a secret. Yeah, it's not a secret.
Well, why
you want to lose weight, but you're not sure what to do.
If you could tell her what to do, that's universally applicable, you'd be working your way out of a job, wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't tell her how.
Okay. Diana, check what you're eating. Keep a food diary, and I would have several questions for you. How old are you? Are you postmenopausal, premenopausal? Are you on any medication that may be making you metabolically resistant to weight loss? Do you have a thyroid condition, hypothyroid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any insulin resistance? Were you told of diabetes or prediabetes? There's a lot of questions that I would have for you.
We're also getting into some nutrigenomics now, where we see some people have various genetic types. Although there's no one single fat gene. There's like a constellation of genes that may govern different types of obesity.
Yeah.
Different types of obesity. There are many subtypes of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And that also explains why some people have a hell of a time losing and some people are enviable and they are, once they turn things around in a very basic way, they shed the pounds.
Right.
Unfortunately, what we do see a lot of is we see people who are chronic dieters, people who have had a history perhaps of eating disorders. They've starved themselves and then have gone back on eating. And it's the Biggest Loser phenomenon. It's like what they've discovered with the TV show, The Biggest Loser, such a popular show. But they did a study of the people who were the biggest losers.
Yeah.
And they found that virtually all of them had regained all their weight and more after the show was over.
Right.
And then they studied them very carefully, you know, with metabolic measurements, and they found that their metabolism had slowed down to a crawl.
Yeah.
And that's the
That's the problem with low-calorie dieting.
Yeah.
So all of these diets that are low-calorie, that's what will happen. Because Mother Nature wants you to survive.
Mm-hmm.
If Mother Nature sees that there are only 800 or 1,200 or 1,400 calories a day at your disposal, she's going to make sure you stop losing weight after a certain point because she wants you to survive, and that means your metabolism will downshift.
Layla, can you get people to lose 40 pounds in 40 days?
I could, but after 40 days, it's no longer sustainable.
Right.
Guess what? We've had patients like that. I've had patients like that who have done that diet. Mm-hmm.
I just had one who came, went to one of those diet centers, lost the requisite amount of weight.
Yep.
And then basically they cut her loose. They said, you're not really sticking to this program. Well, the program was like eating 500 calories a day.
Yeah, which is not sustainable.
Right.
You will become nutritionally deficient.
By the way,
it's not safe to only eat 500 calories a day
for
a long period of time.
Minor side effects, like she said, her hair started to fall out.
That will happen.
You know, her skin became really crepey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not getting the required nutrients. You're not eating fats. Mm-hmm. If you're only taking in 500 calories a day, that's mostly going to be made up of apples and carrots, things that you would feed horses, stuff like that with very little fat.
So basic question.
Yeah.
Low fat diet or low carb diet?
Oh, low carb diet.
Okay.
Several reasons. When you do a low fat diet, you're actually doing a low calorie diet. That can lower your metabolism, number one. Number two, you will remain hungry. How long are you willing to stay hungry before you become angry and then hangry? Mm-hmm. Hangry is the term. So, but on a low-carb diet...
But when you get hangry, you're supposed to get a candy bar. That's what the commercial
right,
says.
Right, the Snickers commercial or something like
with
that.
With Betty
this
White,
is for
you're
hangry.
Know, the yeah. famous commercial. Right.
But if you do it in a low-carb fashion, you will actually be able to eat more calories and still lose weight, as much as 200 to 300 more calories a day mm-hmm. and still lose weight if
and
you're
have,
an adult.
And have some more satiety.
You'll have much more satiety. Mm-hmm. You won't be going hungry mm-hmm. after a time. I've had patients report, oh, wow, it's past lunchtime and I didn't even get hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's already 2 o'clock.
Keto
or something
diet?
Like that. Ketogenic diet, absolutely. That would be the way to go. But there are several things, Diana, to investigate mm-hmm. to determine how low carb do you need to go. You may not need to go that low.
You're just making it complicated because if you don't want to give her a simple yeah. answer, then she could
the
just
simple
take
answer
the money
is,
and run.
No, simple answer is go on a low carb diet and
okay.
see what happens.
Okay.
If you want to lose
okay.
weight. It, you know, for, because that's very safe.
Because in fairness, I mean, some people yeah. are not in a position to have to pay yeah. for a nutritional consultation.
That's true.
Which, yeah, rarely covered by insurance, unfortunately, mm-hmm. which is such a shame.
You know? It is. I know for RDs, nutritionists like myself, you will be covered if you have kidney disease and diabetes, but that's about it.
But not to prevent things.
Not to prevent things. Not if you have prediabetes.
Oh.
Not if you have some chronic renal disease. We're talking more end stage mm-hmm. at that point. Yeah, and then it's covered.
You know, I'm involved.
It's covered when it's full blown diabetes.
I'm involved in a couple of political initiatives, you know, through the organizations that I belong to. I belong mm-hmm. to the American Nutrition Association and the Alliance for Natural Health. And our goal is to really put this front and center, yeah. you know, as a cause is, you know, since we're spending so much money treating these diseases, why don't we try to preempt these diseases? And, you know, one of the ways to do that is to make available to people more economical pathways to sound nutritional advice.
Yes.
So that they stay healthy. And, you know, as we start our podcast, ultra-processed foods are responsible for killing, you know, a high yeah. percentage of the population. Duh.
Yeah.
And if we could maybe, you know, so now, you, as you say, you're familiar with the insurance situation for your field. You have to be already well along the pathway mm-hmm. to disease
yeah.
to be able to access that information. Yeah. Now, there's some community-based projects. The YMCA runs a community-based yeah. project. I used to be involved with that. Mm-hmm. There are many other community-based initiatives and local initiatives that try to get people some better nutritional awareness and maybe even availability to, you know, cheaper access to healthy food products, mm-hmm. Food mm-hmm. banks, and so on.
Yeah.
That, I think, is, I mean, we talk about certain political issues we just pounded into the ground, you know, like wall, no wall, okay, fine. But mm-hmm. some of the real issues that will determine the future of this country are receding in the background, and they're very important.
They are very important for the public's health.
We do have a nutritionally oriented presidential candidate.
Hmm.
Cory Booker.
Oh.
He's a vegan.
Oh, is that
right?
Did you
know? He's an out and out vegan. The problem is... Mm-hmm. He's very nutritionally aware, but in our view, he took a wrong turn.
Yeah, yeah. You could be vegan for a while and feel great, it will catch up with you.
Because he would be with the Eat Lancet people who say, let's reduce our consumption of meat and let's, you know...
Eat beans and rice and that's all.
And then we will eliminate the cow farts that are actually... It's actually cow belches.
Cow farts.
It comes out the other end. It's the most of the methane comes out of the mouths of cows, not their rear ends.
Yeah.
But
methane also comes from the ocean floors. How are we going to stop that?
Okay.
And volcanoes and things. How are we going to stop that?
Yeah, that'd be
no,
crazy.
No, let's just talk about cow farts.
That'd be crazy if, as we contemplate, global warming, we have big volcanic eruption, which happens every couple of centuries.
Yes.
And then we have in the Middle Ages, we have like a new ice age, mm-hmm. you know, for a few decades. Mm-hmm. That can happen, in the Earth's history.
Yeah.
So we can't anticipate that.
Yeah.
So the other issue we're off on a tangent, I know, but they talk about this growing population of the Earth. Mm-hmm. Actually, there are some people who are coming out with this new concept, which is the Earth's population will start to shrink, especially the population of the countries that are their biggest consumers. Europe is definitely not even meeting the, you know, two per couple
birth rate.
Birth rate.
Birth rate has gone down.
U.S., you know, is approaching that parameter in terms of not non-replacement of the population. And so, you know, we may, you know, just by virtue of social factors, dodge this bullet of global demise, which is caused by overpopulation. You know, and
then there will be the errant plague here and there and other natural disasters that will, unfortunately, kill many. And all of that.
Like the 1918 flu, that's only 100 years ago, killed a very sizable percentage of the world's population, like 5% of the world's population, right there, 5, 10% in some countries. You know, we can't, you know, we a computer can't really model all these possibilities.
That's true. So, Diana, if you would like a consult, call the office, 212-779-1744. Otherwise, you want to do this on your own, I would suggest a low-carb diet. I think it's a good place to start.
Okay, that's a good point at which to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now, back to our questions.
Oh, we've got an email from Jean. Jean says, I'm hesitant to send this because I don't want you all to think that I'm some sort of a troll.
Okay.
I'm a fan who reads and follows lots of science and health-related news, a hobby since retiring from a job in that field, who loves to spread the latest news on the health front. In today's Q&A with Layla, there was a discussion about a specific mutation in some melanomas. Remember the conversation we had about melanoma?
Yep.
The discussion went on to talk about genetic testing of tumors to determine optimum diet and chemo. And it was mentioned that other than breast cancer, that it really wasn't done, but it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I would have to say. You know, technically, this person is correct. Thank you. And I wanted to read that because I want people to know that they are beginning to now have what's called personalized care, individualized cancer treatment for certain cancers. So what they'll do is they'll send the tumor for analysis. You know, with breast cancer, this is very well established. You know, now they have the HER2 and they have, you know, certain predictive, you know, ways of determining what type of treatment is best.
Yeah.
But it's less developed for other cancers. It is, I think, you can do this for certain lung cancers. You can decide if you're a candidate for Keytruda, for example.
Colorectal cancer is also on the list for that.
Right.
Kidney cancer.
Yes, but it's beginning. And
it's
we're
going to
see
it's
a real sea change. The problem is, here's the problem, is there is a real gap between the cutting edge research and it trickling down to the treatment room. And also there's a cost containment element to this. This is very expensive technology.
Yes.
The drugs are exceedingly expensive. Many of them cost hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They are not curative in most cases. They can offer the prospect of continued survival. They have a lot of side effects, these drugs. There are many, most of them are monoclonal antibodies, and monoclonal antibodies may have a devastating effect on the immune system, causing such reactions as ulcerative colitis and severe autoimmune.
These are these MIBs and MABs.
MIBs and MABs, and these are very tailored drugs that may apply to just a small fraction of some people with cancer, Right now, it's pretty much, you have this cancer, this is the treatment.
Yeah.
And it's more the protocol mm-hmm. rather than the individualized care.
Yeah.
And so I think if you are an educated person of means, mm-hmm. you gotta have some money.
Right.
Because insurance may not cover it. You may want to get your tumor analyzed 6 ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
Have a, they use machine learning, artificial intelligence to apply the latest study findings to your tumor type.
Mm-hmm.
They can then determine if it might be futile to use type of chemo because your tumor is essentially chemo resistant based
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
And then go directly to immunotherapy. But guess what? Immunotherapy often is not paid for. It's very expensive, except if you fail, you have got to go for the regular chemo before you can get the immunotherapy.
Oh, my.
You have to fail chemo and then have a recurrence, and then yeah. you can maybe be a candidate for that.
Right.
So, I mean, here's the problem, too, is let's say, you know, we allow insurance to be cover all this stuff. Each individual cancer case could cost hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, right now, the... research findings are not matched to what's the reality on the ground.
Right. A little more about the future of personalized medicine here I wanted to add into everything you're talking about. Despite the promises of personalized cancer treatments, these challenges remain. You talked about the expense and so forth. Personalized treatment options are not available for all types of cancers, as you say. Some personalized treatments are only offered through a clinical trial. So again, this appears to still be in its infancy.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, the other thing is that it's, I think you're getting a little hysteria in the cancer field, like the promise of cancer. Every week there's a new cancer cure.
Mm-hmm.
Every single week. And it's always very promising. And then the question is whether it's going to go from bench to clinic. How long will it take? Will it take 2 years? Well, the Israelis say within a year they're going to cure cancer, according to this. And a lot of people in the cancer field are coming down on them like a ton of bricks. They're creating unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that there's a stock play or a, some funding play.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are startups sometimes that come up with these things. So,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That would manipulate their stock.
Yeah.
That's it, because they're working on their patents and so forth. So, Gene, you are not being a troll, and we really appreciate that you brought this to our attention.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you
sincerely
for listening to these podcasts.
And anybody, you know, we can misspeak.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot of astute people listening. We welcome your comments and corrections. We will stand corrected. I think what we weren't necessarily wrong in our original statement. It was just that we need a little more clarification and precision on what we said.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Gene. Okay. We have an email from Ed. Ed describes himself as the old hippie.
Okay.
Okay. Ed writes, drinking celery juice...
Wait a minute. Hippies?
Yeah.
Hippies were a phenomenon in the 60s.
Yep.
So... I was a little bit too young to be a hippie. I was sort of a hippie wannabe because I was like a teenager. I grew my hair long, but I couldn't really be a hippie because it's hard to be a hippie when you're living at home.
I wanted to be a flower child wannabe, but you know, I was only 5.
Yeah. And I was too young. My parents didn't let me go to Woodstock. That would have involved a plane trip, you know, to New York.
Uh-huh.
So, so I would judge this guy's in his 70s, you know.
Possibly, yeah.
Because that's how old the hippies
the old
are
hippie.
Now.
Right.
Real hippies.
Right. So Ed writes, drinking celery juice is a new fad. Extravagant claims are made. It reduces LDL. It lowers blood pressure. It's anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer. Is there anything to it? Well, first of all, Ed, it probably can help to lower blood pressure because celery is a great source of nitric oxide production in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the green vegetables are.
Mm-hmm.
And celery is also a lot of water. As well, but the nitric oxide production that can come from celery juice. You know, I always tell people who are making a smoothie, throw a celery stalk in there, nibble on some celery, eat some celery. It's a good idea. It's a nice amount of fiber too. As far as reducing LDL, it's possible because if you're on a higher fiber diet, which may include celery, that can help to carry out, to excrete the cholesterol from the gut.
And what's kind of interesting about celery, it contains a nutraceutical. You know, it's now sold as a nutraceutical that's less well known. You know, we know about curcumin and boswellin and, you know, resveratrol.
Yeah.
But celery is rich in something called apigenin.
Apigenin
is in the flavone class of nutrients. And apigenin induces autophagy, which is a kind of a cellular waste cycling system that...
Autophagy.
Autophagy or autophagy.
Okay. Tomato, tomato. Okay.
Yeah.
Autophagy.
You know, which is an important concept, you know, because when you... supposedly, intermittent fasting, and fasting will cause autophagy, which is the getting the body to, clean up toxins.
To clean house.
It also may stimulate neurogenesis, so that it's being proposed in the treatment of brain disorders. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. So, you know, some nice things about that. And you can get it in parsley, celery. Celeriac. You know what celeriac is?
Yes, it's delicious.
It's the celery root.
It looks like a softball.
And I use it when I make chicken soup. I slice it up, and it's very good.
It's beautiful in the salad.
People don't know what to do with it. You can also make something called celeriac from that. Very popular in France.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of like coleslaw made from
celeriac. Oh, I'm going to try that.
Yeah. See if you can get a recipe for that. It's hard to find here, but I think at French restaurants maybe you can get it. And chamomile tea also has apigenin. So it's kind of a cool thing that's definitely on my radar screen. Dr. Gundry, who's the guy,
the author of The Plant Paradox.
Yeah.
He talks about lectins and things.
He's a fan of it. Mm-hmm. I think he sells it.
Okay. Yeah. So, Ed... apigenin can then help to be anti-inflammatory because it's a flavanol, can help with cancer prevention along a laundry list of all the other things that are cancer preventive.
The way I use celery a lot is there's a word for it when it's the base of a soup is you know carrots, onions, and celery, and then you saute that in olive oil,
right.
And then whatever. Vegetable soup. It's a sort of a stock, but there's a word for it. I think it's called pois something.
The mirepoix.
Mirepoix.
Yeah, mirepoix. That's emerald.
Together.
Bam.
Together, we've got a brain.
Yes.
You know, it's like
the mirepoix, or you know, the triumvirate that goes into. It's the base of everything.
Mirepoix. So that's where you can use a lot of celery. And the other way I use celery is when, say, you know, I have a chicken carcass and it's a little dried up. It's been, you know, it's leftover, and so I'll just take the chicken and chop it up and then chop in some celery and some onions and throw in some avocado mayonnaise. I don't like the Hellmann's mayonnaise anymore because it's made with canola or soy oil.
It's soybean oil. No.
It's just another way to get it's like a Trojan horse for getting a lot of soy oil into your body.
The avocado mayonnaise is delicious.
Tastes good, but avocado mayonnaise, get it from Thrive Market. That's where I
order it. Thrive Market,
That's a subscription service.
Yes,
where
Thrive
you
Market.
Can... get some products. Health food stores have it too, but
they do. But you could get it in the regular grocery store. I'm seeing a brand called Sir Kensington, which I've gotten their avocado mayonnaise. It's delicious.
And it doesn't have any.
No, it's a good product.
Adulterants in it? Okay.
Nope. It's pretty good.
Polysorbate or
I'm not going to buy that mayonnaise.
Texturizers and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy that mayonnaise. Yeah.
The
other hand is you make it your
cellulose.
You make it yourself. It'll keep for 2 to 3 days in the fridge. Then that's it. When you're using your own, if you're making your own mayonnaise at home.
Doesn't it involve separating the yolk from the white?
I think so. My husband does this. I don't. With the mayonnaise at home, I don't do that.
It's a bridge too far for me.
It's a bridge too far. He does that and he does hollandaise sauce and that's wonderful on asparagus, among other things. But yeah.
But he's the kind of guy who builds his own house.
Right.
So.
Yeah. The walls are built. I said, build that wall, honey. And he's building them.
Okay. Well, at least one wall is going to get built.
Yes.
You know, it's only a couple of hundred yards, but.
Right.
So that's good.
So, Ed, celery is a good thing. I think raw and cooked in a smoothie, but raw and cooked is just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go for it, celery.
Yeah.
And nitrates, too. Dietary nitrates.
Yes.
It's a source of nitrates, which promotes circulation.
Right.
Yep.
which helps you to produce some nitric oxide, which helps the vasodilation mm-hmm. of your blood vessels, so your blood pressure will naturally lower.
By the way, I searched in vain for mm-hmm. studies that suggest that taking beet juice or anything that's really rich in nitrates, nitric oxide, can enhance sexual performance, because I'm about to do a panel discussion mm-hmm. on natural support for sexual performance. And mm-hmm. my department, and I'm representing you because
yes.
there's only room in the panel for me,
mm-hmm.
We want to talk about, which foods make you sexier. And you can say that overall your health will be maintained and you won't develop cardiovascular disease, but you can't say that, man, I forget that Viagra, I'm going to have a glass of celery juice.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, baby. It's like...
Another way you're getting nitrates is when you buy nitrate-free cold cuts or bacon,
mm-hmm.
they use celery juice for the source of nitrate.
Well, they also use a beet extract
yes.
to make it red
mm.
because
mm-hmm.
Bacon really looks very gray ordinarily, and that's why they use these nitrates to...
Mm-hmm. And otherwise, you wouldn't eat it if you saw that color.
Yeah. So, but using beet powder sometimes is a way to get that
mm-hmm.
look.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, we're out of time. And
wow.
We're sorry we dithered around with segues, but we like segues. So we have some more questions that we're going to address next week, but that does not mean that you should hesitate to send your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. That's Destination for Questions. Remember, too, that we're also in private practice in New York City, should you desire a consultation, particularly with Layla, long distance. I don't do long distance. You got to come see me, but Layla mm-hmm. can do a phone consultation with you. And you can just look us up under drhoffman.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.